Hey, guys, it's Jen.
And it's Carrie.
I think I surprised him a little bit. We are back. And we are doing part two of songs that remind us of our guys. Last week we did Johnny, this week we're doing Tom. Boy, I wish I could do Tom this week. That would be nice.
And you did Johnny last week.
And I did Johnny last week, hey.
Not bad.
Gotta love it. When I get to where my internet is working properly, I've got several images that I'm going to upload. I sent you one just a little while ago, Carrie. The interpretation of the Mad Hatter.
Yep. Pretty great.
So it's
kind of steampunky.
Yeah, very.
Mad Hatter.
Very steampunky. And I just thought it was beautiful. The color, the texture of the painting is just, or of the image is just amazing.
Yeah, it's really cool.
So, yeah, and I've got at least 20 podcast-related blog posts I've got to make from Christmas on. So,
okay.
I'm going to be probably spending until this Christmas catching up.
Right.
But, you know.
Yeah, seriously.
I'm not the only one who can post on the blog, you know. If someone would get their profile set up, you know, they could always, of course, they don't have to have a profile set up in order to blog, but we all know how busy you are, baby, so, yeah, we all do what we do, and
yep.
I'll get to it, or I won't, but I'm trying, guys, I'm trying to get to it, so... Have you heard any guy-related news?
No. You know, no. Not at all. Tom is still keeping it kind of low. I know we're anticipating a Loki season 2 pretty soon.
Right.
Which apparently Marvel and Disney Plus need a winner because Secret Invasion didn't launch too great.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it was the second lowest premiere that they've had for an MCU franchise on Netflix, which I'm not sure what the lowest was.
Probably one of the Hulks.
Probably what?
One of the Hulks. I don't know if they've done any Hulk miniseries, but if they did, that's probably one of the lowest.
Gotcha.
Well,
people, you know, it was kind of low, and they anticipated it to be, I'm kind of looking forward to it. I can't wait to see it, but apparently just the premiere without people even knowing, you know, anything about it, because you'll get word of mouth, and that'll make things, you know, less anticipatory.
Right.
But people knew it was coming. Nobody knew what it was going to be like, but it just, people weren't terribly excited, and so... Folks are starting to talk about Marvel fatigue.
It just wasn't enough to draw people to the series.
Right. And, you know, we love Loki and Tom and that sort of thing, but anything with a part two behind it,
it
makes you wonder,
however,
you know, if it's going to do well.
However, the way they ended part one, yeah, I know I, for one, will be there. I don't own a TV. If I have to, I will steal one to watch the premiere. And no, I'm not going to steal a TV, guys. Not saying. Just joking. Just joking. But yeah, I should be in a place where I can access the Disney Plus and be able to watch the Loki premiere. And I should have my new Kindle by then. Seeing as how I was stupid and killed my old one. So
nice.
I fell asleep with it in my lap. And then apparently sometime during the night I rolled over on it and messed up the charger port. So it will not charge. And for some reason that's one of the few parts that they will not replace on a Kindle. I don't know why. Doesn't make any sense, considering that's one of the highest damaged parts of a Kindle is the charger port. You know, why? But, yeah, they refused to mess with it. So
maybe they want you to buy a new one.
That's exactly it. Now I'm about to spend about $200 on a brand new 10.1 inch tablet.
Right. Amazing. So,
yeah. I mean, I said to hell with it. If I'm going to get one, it's not going to be this little bitty tiny thing anymore. I'm going to get a frigging tablet.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Shit, I work hard enough. I deserve it.
You do.
But, yeah. So, I will definitely be waiting with bells on to see how they're going to incorporate everything and how they're going to explain. Did they pull in a new variant for Mobius? Did they, you know, because he didn't recognize Loki at the end of season one. You know, what's the deal with that? Did they kill off the old variant and draw in a new one? Did they erase his memory? What happened? You know, so yeah, I definitely will be waiting to see how that, you know, how all that works out.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Very interesting.
And the fact that it is the very first Marvel miniseries ever to get a part two. You know, that's a big deal. So.
Yeah. And they're probably going to promote the hell out of it. So here's the open.
For sure. They've been promoting it for 2 years now.
So, I haven't seen any flyers or anything. We've been talking about it. We've been promoting it for 2 years. I've seen a couple of little, like, things here and there.
How much do you watch Disney Plus?
Not a lot. Okay. Good point.
But, yeah. Well, right when they first decided to make the season two, they promoted the hell out of it, and then they had to push back the starting date, like, 2 or 3 times, I think.
Okay.
So, yeah, that was an issue. The only other thing that I have heard is that Johnny did celebrate his birthday. He was in, give me just a second. Oh, come on. Phone, that's right. All right, let's see. He was in, he was in Istanbul, Turkey. And he had a quiet dinner with the rest of Hollywood vampires to celebrate his 60th. No big party, no high affair, just quiet dinner with his buddies.
Wow.
So.
Good, man. Yeah, take it easy.
Oh, yeah. If anybody deserves it, he does.
Yeah, something chill, something quiet. Sounds like a great idea to me.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, I think that covers pretty much the basics. On to the main body of the podcast. What you got? What's your first, not your number one pick, of course, but give me a song that you relate to Tom Hiddleston.
So I'm going to go with a song by Donovan. Okay. And it's not Sunshine Superman. But I don't know. Actually, that's not a bad one. but Donovan did a song back in the day. It's an English song, and it's pretty famous, and not a whole lot of American. You know, you'd have to hear it, but it's called Hurdy Gurdy Man, and okay. it's very reminiscent. It was a huge, huge hit. And it's very reminiscent of Loki to me.
Oh, is it?
And
okay.
It's basically talking about this guy that's kind of sleeping, and all of a sudden the hurdy-gurdy man came and started singing these different songs. And, you know, we talk about songs that challenge Johnny's sanity, and right. That's why we picked them. But, and Tom's perfectly sane. You know, absolutely. Like you do get the impression that he's got kind of his shit together. But yeah. Loki, not so much an insane person, but he could drive you to the edges of insanity, and it's the illusions making you question your sanity.
Gotcha.
And this song, definitely, like, this, it sounds like kind of a random encounter where Loki kind of walked into this guy's room and started blowing his mind.
Wow, that
but
is...
It's called The Hurdy-Gurdy Man, and it sounds like a mere mortal, because this guy's like, I was just asleep in my room. Literally, the song's like, I was just asleep in my room, and this guy came, and he started singing these songs. And to me, it's very reminiscent of the way that he kind of captures that kind of manic evil. Like, there's something definitely unsettling about the song. And there's something unsettling about Loki, and it just feels right to me,
Absolutely.
The choice.
Awesome. Okay, well, I'll definitely have to look that one up. I'm not familiar with it, so.
If you play a little bit of it, you'll be like, oh, yeah. Right,
okay.
Right.
Yeah. All right. I will have to do that. I'll have to look that up when we get done with this. I will certainly check it out.
And apparently Donovan is really, you know, we have our people that were like, yes, you know, Bruce Springsteen and Bon Jovi are huge to us.
Right.
And the English like them. But to us, we worship them like the greatest, greatest, greatest ever. And Donovan is kind of one of those equivalents. English people, Irish and Welsh people.
Kind of like a Robbie Williams.
Right, exactly. And so I thought that'd be pretty apropos too. I really do think that it's very likely that Tom really, really likes Donovan.
Well, you know, he has never really discussed his, like, specific music choices. I don't think I've ever seen an interview where he talks about, well, I really like this band or that band.
Yeah, you know. I haven't either. This is hard for me because I don't know a lot of, like, Johnny will straight up tell you, you know.
Oh, yeah, he's...
And he's like, he's playing with his idols. Like, you know who he likes. He's playing with them.
Oh, right.
Lucky bastard.
And I'm going to leave that one alone. Sorry, guys. Sex-deprived people tend to be a little, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, definitely leave that one alone. But anyway, yeah, I can definitely see the whole Loki connection with that. And yeah. he's out there, man. There's no other way to describe it. He is out there.
He is one of the most out there villains. I actually prefer...
Anti-hero.
You know, we were talking about the Mad Hatter.
Right.
And Johnny's portrayal of it, I can see strong similarities between those two characters, between Loki and the Mad Hatter.
Again, different sides of the coin. The Mad Hatter is more on the good side, I would say, and Loki would tend more toward evil.
Yeah.
Which is really funny, because if you look at Johnny and Tom, you would think exactly the opposite.
Right.
So I do find that really interesting.
But it's their chaotic. You know, not necessarily they're good or evil, it's their chaotic.
It's the chaotic nature of them, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and it's their brand. It's their brand of, you know, chaotic that both of them bring. And I kind of like Tom's flavor. I will go ahead on record. I mean, I know we haven't seen a whole lot of the Mad Hatter, but I mean, you know how I feel about Loki.
Right.
So.
Oh, yeah, considering you're Loki incarnate, so.
anyway. that's so sad. Anyway, where were we?
Oh, no, it's not.
Wasn't that what he said in Loki? Oh, that's so sad. Well, anyway.
something like that.
I'll find the gif, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But, yeah,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, my choice, Donovan.
My first song choice that I want to mention, it's Tom, Up One Side and Down the Other. It's kind of flippant, kind of off the cuff, but it's true. It's 100% Tom. And that, I don't even know who did the song. But the song is, anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you. I mean, think
about it. I don't
know
who did that either, but I totally get where you're coming from.
Think about it. Tom speaks 11 different languages. He speaks five languages fluently. Okay? Five languages fluently. Well, now who in the hell does that? He plays 5 or 6 different instruments. You know, the acting is amazing. The, just, he, I don't know. I don't think I have, I don't think I can name anything that he doesn't do well. Nothing that he actually does he ever do badly. So, yeah, that did just, yeah. It's something. I mean, when we first started talking about doing this podcast, that was the first song that popped into my head for Tom. So, and I thought about it and I was like, you know, I didn't want to sound disrespectful, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but it fits.
Well, you know, and I think we touched on when he was, where did he go to school? Eton or something like
Cambridge.
That?
He went to Eton in Cambridge.
Yeah.
He went to Cambridge and University.
And he was really, really active socially, and I think you've touched on, he had like kind of friendly competition. You know, he played rugby, and
you definitely
get the impression that he was actually like that mindset. Anything you can do, I can do better.
And he also graduated Cambridge University with a double major or double degree, something, I can't remember the wording, but is only achieved by the top 3% of graduates ever. Not just of a particular year, but of graduates ever. Only 3% are able to do that, so.
Yeah, and you know, being competitive, you also kind of get the impression that he's also kind of not a prick about it. Like, he is, anything you can do, I can do better. And by the way, good effort.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's
so.
He strikes me as the type of person would be like, "Oh, you know, I'm better than you at this. Okay, well, make that your goal. Bring me down. You know,
yeah.
That way you get better yourself. You know,
yes. Yeah.
I could see him doing that. Be like, okay, when you can beat me, then you know you've done something.
Yeah, absolutely."
Yeah, I don't think he would be a prick about it at all. I think he would, you know, but he almost takes it as his due, it seems. Because he is so much better than everybody else at pretty much everything.
Yeah, he may actually be better. You know, I mean, frankly, yes.
But,
so, thank God he's still humble.
And he is. Like I said, Pollyanna ain't got nothing on him.
True.
And, of course, most of our listening audience has no idea who Pollyanna is.
But, yeah.
She's the one who, she doesn't see the rain, she sees the rainbow. She doesn't see the storm clouds, she sees the flowers that come after. She always looks on the bright side, and she's always very optimistic, and that's Pollyanna.
Yeah.
So, when I say he's Pollyanna, it's just meaning that he is always very upbeat, very optimistic, very personable, very always looking to the good side. So
yeah, we've seen Johnny depressed. I don't know if I've ever seen an interview where Tom was in a bad mood. Actually, correct me, you've seen all of the footage.
If he ever was in a bad mood before an interview, he knows how to turn it off. Seen him, the closest I've ever seen him come to shutting a reporter down, you know, to being ugly to him, is when one of the reporters asked him about his, you know, who he was dating now and blah, blah, blah. This has been several years ago. This was after the Taylor Swift deal. But it's been years. But he said, well, I intend to keep my public life and my personal life separate. I believe everyone has a right to do that. Not many people make the effort, but I intend to. So if you want to report something, there's no ring on this finger.
Uh-huh.
And that was the closest he ever came to just saying, you know what? That's none of your damn business. And,
yeah.
You know, But he wasn't ugly about it. He wasn't rude about it. He just made it very clear that that was not something he was willing to discuss. I know someone else who does that. He's very, very good at quietly refusing to talk about things. So,
yeah,
you know, and it's an art form. It really is. Me, I tend to be a little bit more forthcoming. Yeah, excuse me, no. No.
Yeah, you know, he goes beyond what a reasonable person would do in a situation like that.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, he goes out of his way to be respectful and cooperative, where most other stars would be like, okay, look, you're crossing a line. You need to back the fuck up before I back you up.
Yeah.
And Tom doesn't do that. He doesn't have to.
Correct. He's a natural charismatic.
Yes, most definitely. Okay, what have you got? What's your next one?
So I'm going to go the English way one more time. And I would like to think that it's one of his idols and maybe Johnny's too, but I'm going to go with a David Bowie song.
Oh, yes. Which one?
Modern Love.
Oh, yes. That is classic.
Yeah. And, you know, the song even starts with, you know, while the beat starts, before he even starts singing, Bowie says, I know when to go out, know when to stay in.
Home.
Get things done.
Yep.
You know, and he, you know, talks about, I'm standing in the wind, but I never say bye-bye.
Yep.
You know, and he has done the modern love thing. We've kind of, and yeah, just like you said, we're always asking him questions. We're always wondering about, you know, him and his kids and this, you know, new fling or the woman that he's married and, you know, that sort of thing. And it's been very public, and he's mastered it, and he is definitely the poster boy for modern love, I'd say.
I would say you are right.
Like love. Yeah.
And speaking of his love life, my next one actually does, but not his current love life. No, not his current love life, but one of his, or several of his past love lives. And it's one of my favorite female artist ever, Lady Gaga, Paparazzi.
Okay. Back to back ones.
Paparazzi. I mean,
that was the
one comment he made about the Taylor Swift weekend. He said, you know, I've got people following me. I've had people, you know, hiding in bushes to take my picture and, you know, using telephoto lenses. He's like, these people, he's like, there are people, you know, they're climbing trees and using drones to try to see what's going on inside her house. He's like, that was just too much. I just couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's not his style at all.
Well, and the man demands a certain amount of privacy. And he wasn't getting it. I mean, that was just, when you've got to worry that a drone is going to come up to this little, you know, 3x5 window that's in your bathroom and get a picture of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, when you've got to constantly be looking over your shoulder about things like that, yeah, I can understand. I don't know how Miss Swift does it. I don't know how she deals with it. I don't know if she has a little escape somewhere that she goes where nobody can find her. But
yep.
More power to her is all I got to say, because, yeah, no. I would not. I would not be able to deal. But what about you? Do you think he could handle 24/7 surveillance?
No. And, you know, yeah, like you said, it seems like you do have kind of two kinds of celebrities. Those that absolutely love it and those that absolutely don't want all that attention. And he's just not going to, you know, Johnny doesn't like it. He just can't.
He can't get away from it.
He just can't get away from it. Tom, I think, had systems in place, and he may well have had a fantastic agent that's like, I can tell you how to get through this because I've learned from like Johnny Depp, Marlon Brando, you know, all of these other people, and he's just all got it in place. And
once again,
I admire him for it.
Once again, though, that also points to the fact that before he ever was a huge star, he already had systems in place for when he became a huge star. He knew from the get-go that he was gonna be famous.
Yeah.
And, you know, that goes back to the anything you can do.
Yep.
But the man is classically, he's the poster child for decide what you want, figure out the steps necessary to get what you want, and then take the steps. If something happens and blocks a step, take a couple steps back, look around, see what your alternatives are, and go there. He does not let anything stand in his way, and I've got to say, he's done a hell of a job.
Yeah, he has absolutely done a hell of a job.
Yep, but yeah, Paparazzi hit me as a very good song for him, because if you've seen the video, I'm sure that was back before anybody had ever really seen her face. Yeah, the video for Paparazzi was done because it was over a year.
I have seen it, but it was years ago.
It was over a year after she got famous, before anyone ever saw her without wig and huge glasses and all kinds of other, you know, just paraphernalia to disguise what she actually looked like. When people saw her without her makeup on, no one knew who she was. So, you know, she did the whole, and the song is all about, you either love them or you hate them. You know, you either use them or they use you. So, you know, and Tom has done a very good job of using the paparazzi to his advantage and cutting them off when he doesn't want them.
Yeah. Pretty brilliant.
Oh, yeah. Never said there's nobody that can say he's not.
No. Quite true.
All right, you got another one?
So, I would probably go... this is more, I guess, with his modern, you know, the last year or two. And like you said, he has kind of, you know, he's had some pretty great relationships. But this one, you know, his current wife, I'm going to go with She's Got Away by Billy Joel.
Oh, good one.
You know,
that's so funny because my next one has a lot to do with his wife too.
Yeah, you know, well, hey, and I'm sure she would say the same thing.
But yeah, he got lucky. Because one in a million find that other soul that's looking for the same thing they are. It's very rare. And he looks like he found the one who thinks like he does when it comes to publicity and privacy and how to handle yourself with certain things. Her political background, growing up in a political family, probably has a lot to do with that. But, you know, to find another person that thinks like you do and has the same attitudes and ideas as you, that's really hard to come by. And he seems to have hit the gold mine on that one.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, Billy Joel was always one of the best for the romantic, but not quite romantic, songs.
Yeah. That, you know, the cigarettes, you know, in the middle of the night kind of love songs.
Yes, exactly. That, I've never heard it put that way, but that's brilliant.
Yeah, and you know, we haven't talked about Billy Joel a lot. We've been talking about music a lot the past month or so, and Billy Joel hasn't been coming up enough.
I agree, because that man, he is the basis for Bruce Springsteen. He's the, everybody, oh, Bruce is the hometown. No, Billy Joel was way before Bruce.
Yeah. Like 5 or 6 years before. True. Yeah. And the Jersey, New York guys. Yeah, uh-huh. You're right.
Yep, and like Uptown Girl. He wrote that one for Christie Brinkley.
Yeah. I love how Billy Joel did I Love You Just the Way You Are. Don't Go Changing.
Right.
Try to Please Me. And then just a few years later, he divorced his wife and got with Christie Brinkley.
Right. Hey, you never know. It could have been something different.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. Just saying.
It's kind of sus.
Just doing that. Yeah, it's a little sus.
It's definitely sus.
Perhaps his first wife was too genteel. Sorry, I've been thinking about that all week. Last week, genteel.
Oh, okay.
With your sister.
Oh, yeah.
I've been sprinkling that into my conversations the past week.
Oh, man, I'm sorry. Genteel has nothing to do with it when you pay $900 for a pair of shoes. I'm sorry. I don't spend $900 on my entire wardrobe.
Right. Good Lord.
Matter of fact, I'm sitting here in a pair of shorts that my sister bought me for my 41st birthday. Mm-hmm. And a t-shirt I swiped from somebody else. It's a skeleton holding up a flower in a like a flower garden, and it says life is good.
Nice.
So, matter of fact, I could probably list you the clothing that I own that I actually bought. Everything else is like, oh, you like t-shirts? Here, take some t-shirts.
Yeah.
So, you know, but yeah. Billy Joel is one of those that kind of got lost in the new breed of music. You know, you don't hear about him anymore. You don't hear the old songs anymore, unless you just hunt them up yourself. But yeah, he's an amazing artist, and he was the original blue collar boy.
Yep.
Turned superstar.
Yep. Talking about his parents that used to vacation on the Jersey Shore.
Right.
Yep.
But yeah, I agree with you. We haven't talked about Billy near enough.
He's a good one.
Yep. All right,
so who you got?
All right, my next one is, and it's so funny the parallels here. I was also thinking about the wife, and, you know, she is just as smart and just as intelligent and just as optimistic and just as, what's the word? She's an overachiever as much as he is. So, the song that I chose is She Blinded Me with Science.
Mm-hmm. Thomas Dolby.
I'm not sure if she's got a scientific background, but the feel of the song is what I was going for more than the actual words. But yeah, that's one of the biggest things that attracted Tom, and he's made the comment a couple of times, was... Yeah, she's beautiful. She's absolutely gorgeous, but I was attracted to her mind before I was attracted to her face.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that one's the one that I picked, was She Blinded Me with Science.
It's so English, and frankly, it's so MCU.
Yes.
Why is this not... Has this shown up... in an MCU movie? Surely at this point. It will if it hasn't.
No. No, it has not. I can definitively say, okay, I can't definitively because I could be wrong, but I'm 99.9% sure that it's never shown up in an MCU.
I think you're right.
So, but yeah, you're right. It should be, and they should put it somewhere.
Yeah, you know, it's science and your super gadgeteers.
Tony Stark, friggin' the Hulk, Professor Hulk, Jarvis.
But who are the women? Who would blind you? Who are the women inventor scientists? Like, I think that, like, Sue Storm from the Fantastic Four, she was a scientist, and I could see Reed Richards singing She Blinded Me with Science,
The female counterpart, the original Wasp.
Oh, yep.
I can't call her name, but yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, she would be.
Not
she would...
Janet. Yeah. Evangeline Lilly Pleader.
But yeah, the original Wasp. The wife of the inventor. Because she helped him invent the Ant-Man costume.
Right. Blinded me with science.
Absolutely.
I had no idea I would go into the microverse. Or the quantum.
Yeah, the quantum universe. Yeah, okay, yes. I'm just getting my head wrapped around the multiverse. Let's not go quantum yet.
Yes, pardon me. Right. Which may be the multiverse. I don't know. It's getting out of hand.
Well, it blew me away watching Multiverse of Madness. One of the characters explains that when the reason that some dreams stay with you and some don't is because when you dream, if you dream yourself in a place, not like you're seeing something, but you're actually there.
Yeah.
That's you tapping into the mind of one of your counterparts in another version of the multiverse.
That's interesting. Wow, that's a great... I need to watch this damn movie.
Yeah, you do. We were going to watch it last time I was there. I tell you what, that will be on our list.
Very good. Yeah, we got to put an end to this. It started out amazing. We should do it.
It's amazing all the way through. But yeah, you quit watching it because I was coming and we were going to watch it together.
Yeah.
And then we never did.
Yeah.
Yeah, distractions.
Yeah.
But, don't do that. But, yeah, so we're definitely going to have to put that back on the list. But I got to thinking about that. And so I started, like, doing the whole dream analysis thing. Like, okay. And then when I see myself in some of the places that I've dreamed, I'm like, oh, hell no. You mean there's worse places than this?
Right.
Yeah, these are things that'll keep you up at night.
Yeah, that's pretty deep.
No, I had some pretty good ones, too, but, you know, the problem with those were I couldn't stay there. I ended up waking up. But, all right, so we are good on time right now. I'm keeping an eye on it. All right, have you named your best one yet?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. All right.
I think so, but okay. It's making assumptions.
Okay. You got one more?
I am going to go with Sweet Dreams by the Eurythmics.
Nice.
Because he ended up, you know, kind of pulling it off. He got his sweet dream. That being said... And he traveled the world in the seven seas, and everybody's looking for something.
Yep.
But then it gets into some of them want to use you, some of them want to get used by you.
Some of them want to abuse you, and some of them want to be abused.
And that sounds like Tom in a nutshell.
It does. That is classic. I never would have picked that song for him, but now that you say it, it is 100% frigging right.
Yeah, well, you know, and I remember a couple of those interviews where the Avengers had come out and Thor had come out, and they were doing red carpet interviews, and it's kind of famous. We've talked about it before, but these two girls were interviewing them, and they were just kind of gaga about them, and she's like, you know, whenever you take the stage, if you thought about it, just like, you know, maybe I should take the stage, you know, and like came forward to her, you know, kind of aggressively, and she was like,
oh, what's and, really funny,
you know, there are so many subs out there that would literally take 20 years off of their life if they could get dommed by Tom for like a year.
Oh, I know plenty of subs that would give the rest of their lives to get dommed by Tom for a day. That what's really
well, yeah,
funny.
Exactly. That's kind of you know, part of the charm, if you will.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
That's why I picked Sweet Dreams. You know, he understands it.
He does.
Lennox understood it when she sang it, and I think that Tom absolutely knows exactly what she's talking about.
Oh yeah. But you reminded me, I was looking for last year, we did Johnny's birthday, we did all of his charities and stuff, right?
Yeah.
So I pulled up and was trying to find stories of people who had actually met Johnny and Tom.
Okay.
And I came across one that, okay, Tom is 6'1". All right? For those of you... who are like over 5'8", it's not a big deal. You're 6'1" yourself, right?
I'm 6'1".
Okay. Well, I'm 5'3". Okay? So anybody who's over about 5'8" or so is like huge. Very tall. So this girl was talking, she was 18 years old, and she ran into Tom at a convention, and he agreed to stop and take a picture with her. And she laughed, and she was like, they were trying to get the camera angle right, and he's like, maybe I should kneel. She's like, yeah, that's it. That's what isn't it you that's supposed to be telling me to kneel? And he leaned over and whispered in her ear, in his Loki voice, he says, baby, eventually you will all kneel. And they snapped the picture, and she's got this dumbfounded kind of, I just came in my pants look on her face.
Yeah. I do remember that. That's right.
She said that was the most thrilling experience of her 18-year-old life, was that right there.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It's good to be Tom.
Oh, my God, yes. Oh. I would not trade him, though. I would not want to. I would like to step into his shoes for a day or a week or so. But as far as, like, actually trading places with him, oh, hell no. Oh, I'm sorry. Acting is too much work.
Yeah, you know, I'd like to hang out with him, you know, and,
that would
you, be know, cool. You know, have some drinks and that sort of thing. And I'd probably try not to be starstruck. I like to think that I could treat these people normally, because they get people that just act stupid all the time. But he does kind of seem like he's more, if we were just people and we met Johnny at a convention, or if we were just people and we just met Tom at a convention, I have a feeling that Tom would get the slight edge over being able to hang out with regular people more.
Right. And it's true. I mean, think about it. Who are these superstars going to remember? Are they going to remember the hundreds of thousands of people who can't speak when they're around them, who, you know, get starstruck, who just get stupid? Or are they going to remember the one or two who was just like, oh, yeah, I guess you are Johnny Depp. Oh, I guess you are Tom Hiddleston. Hey,
yeah,
what's up?
Yeah.
You know, you want a drink? You know, just
who are they gonna
remember? Who's gonna stick in their mind? I used to tell folks that if one of these superstars, if I were to run into them and they asked me out, I would tell them no. originally. I would first tell them no, they'd have to work for it. And, you know, my friends looked at me like I was insane. What do you mean? There's hundreds of women that would be, you know, why are they going to waste their time on you if there's so many? Because I said no. How many other women are going to say no? How many other women are going to look at them and go, yeah, uh-uh, sorry. I'm washing my hair, sorry. You know, it's not going to happen. So, you know, are they going to go the easy route and the nameless, faceless women that will say yes, or are they going to focus and pursue the one or two that say no?
Right. Yes. It is more memorable.
Absolutely. Yeah, I have the angles. I just don't have the opportunity.
Yeah, no. Most regular people don't.
Well,
so
yeah.
So don't feel too bad about it.
Well, I mean, I've pretty much given up the hope that I will actually meet the guys and get them to sign my tattoos.
Great.
So.
Good.
I'm thinking about, and I'm trying to figure out the best way to go about it because I want permission to do this before I do it.
Yeah.
You can find copies of these guys' autographs all over the internet. I mean, they're everywhere.
True.
So what I'm thinking about doing is cheesing it and getting a photocopy of each one of their signatures and having that tattooed.
Yeah.
On the, with my tattoos. But like I said, I want permission to do that first. So I've, don't know. I'll probably put some letters in to agents, to handlers, to I don't know, whoever I can think of, to see what I have to do to go about getting permission to use their autograph in a tattoo.
I'm pretty sure it'd be fairly easy. I mean, you've already got literally both their face physical likenesses on your body, so
you may as well
go ahead and...
But those physical likenesses are in character form.
All right, okay, whoa. Okay, good point. Very good point.
These are actual signatures, so I definitely want to...
It'd be Disney suing you on those. You're talking like individual, like... lawsuits from a person.
I wasn't really even worried about lawsuits. It's just, it's kind of an honor kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, I want to use their signature, but it's, you know, that's theirs. That's not something that they have sold to the public. That image, the Loki image, the Edward Scissorhands image, those images have been sold to the public. Those are, you know, those are readily available. Their signature is more personal. It's
right, that is true.
You know, and so I want to get permission before I use that. I may end up doing it without it, but I would like to have the permission first. So if anybody knows how to go about contacting, because, you know, of course I'm Joe Blow, nobody off the street, and I can't get any kind of response from anybody. The closest I came was a letter telling me if I wanted an autograph, how to go about getting one. Which I'm considering doing. It takes about a year and a half to actually get the autograph. But it takes them that long to get through all the requests and stuff. But yeah, you can get Tom's or Johnny's autograph. All you have to do is send a self-addressed stamped envelope with your request to a specific address, and they go about getting the autograph, and then they will send it back to you. It doesn't cost anything more than a stamp.
Yeah.
So, but you know, if I'm gonna get their autograph, I want it to be legit. I don't wanna just, you know, write in and say, oh, I want your autograph. Can you sign this? No. But anyway.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, I know. Well, my mom always used to say that if I wanted something badly enough, I would end up getting it. That's how I met Glenn Danzig. That's how I got my horse when I was 13. I won my horse in a 4-H contest. So, against people from all over the state. So, yeah.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. But, so, you know, hopefully a little bit of that's still with me. So, we'll see.
Yeah.
All right. Another one that I got for Tom is more toward his, what he finds fun, the things that he likes to do. And that is Footloose.
Yeah, is that, absolutely.
That is, who does Footloose? I wanted to say
Kenny Loggins.
Okay, it was Kenny Loggins. I wanted to say Kenny Loggins, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, Footloose, the man loves to dance. He does so at any given opportunity. And
okay.
Oh, yeah. All you gotta do is say, hey, Tom, show us your moves. And there he goes.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah. He's, several interviews he's broken into dance. So.
Nice.
I could definitely see him taking Kevin Bacon's place in that movie.
Too old at this point, though.
Oh, no, I know too old at this point, but.
Yeah, but I could have seen in another,
back in the day.
Absolutely.
Oh,
sure.
Yeah. I could definitely see it. But yeah, Footloose, that's just, you know, that's Tom. Gotta cut it loose.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
But yeah, my absolute top pick was the Paparazzi song. What was yours?
You know, it'd either be Sweet Dreams or it'd be My Way by Frank Sinatra.
Actually,
you know,
My Way. See, I would say My Way was more Johnny.
Well, I mean, yeah, Johnny did, but I mean,
Tom did some really
weird
shit
like
too.
His way. He's done it his way.
He definitely has. High Rise. Have you watched that movie?
No, I still haven't.
Okay, High Rise. I've watched it 8 or 10 times. I've read the play-by-play synopsis explaining the movie. I still don't get it.
I'm really intrigued. I really, really want to see it.
I mean, honestly, I still don't get it. So, yeah, Tom's had some really, really friggin' weird movies in and of themselves, so yeah. And I mean, Only Lovers Left Alive is a little out there.
Yeah, for sure.
But now that one, I'm sorry, I have several still images of that one. He only vamps out once or twice. I think it's twice.
Right.
I have one picture of him with his fangs, but you know, the whole, if you look at the costuming, and the costumes were made with, I want to say, bison hair, bison or elk hair.
Really?
Yeah, it's animal fur.
Okay.
To give them a more wild look.
Yeah, it worked.
A more fey.
I thought that was like hair product. Wow.
Yeah, it's to give them a more fey kind of look.
Yeah.
And I mean, it works, but
it totally works.
But just the costuming and the makeup and everything, not something anybody could pull off. So.
Wow. Yeah. Huh.
And I can only think of maybe two other women besides Tilda Swinton, who could have pulled it off.
Oh my God, pshaw. Maybe. Kate Blanchett.
Maybe.
That
she did not enter my list, but yeah, you're right. She probably could pull that off. I was thinking more along the lines of Susan Sarandon.
Yeah.
She's usually cast in the mom kind of role.
Mm-hmm.
But she Everybody forgets, which is of Eastwick. She can definitely pull off some really weird, kind of out there roles. And I think I definitely think she could pull that off. Another one I think could pull that off would be either Glenn Close or, oh God, the name just went right out of my head. She was in the original Catwoman as the bad guy's
wife. Sharon Stone.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Sharon Stone could definitely pull that off.
Yeah, there you go. Yep. Got that bit of aggression.
There was very little aggression in the vampires in Only Lovers Left Alive.
Well, maybe not aggression, but that
wildness.
Yeah, that oomph.
That little bit of not quite tame. You know,
yeah.
Not quite domesticated.
Yeah, it's a very subtle performance.
And it's amazing. Tilda Swinton rocks. And of course, so does Tom. But yeah.
No, one of my top three actresses, certainly working today, for sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she's so. She can pull off any role. She can play good or evil. She can play both.
Yep.
She did both in Constantine.
Yep.
And I love it. She played Michael. The Archangel Michael in Constantine. That was before transgender was a thing. And it was amazing.
Well, she did this movie called Orlando, which was like her first, and I think it was 1990, 1991, and it was this gender-bending, time-traveling character.
Okay.
And no one knew who she was, and they're like, "Who is this? A guy? Is this a girl?" You know, and everybody wanted to know, and it was Tilda Swinton, and frankly, we kind of always know when you just look at Tilda Swinton, we've always kind of known women and men that were like that, when we grew up.
Very androgynous.
It wasn't even a big deal. Yeah, and it wasn't even a big deal. You know, they were just kind of andro, whether they liked it or not, and some of them dealt with it better than others, but...
Right. Well, I know...
You know.
When I first saw Constantine, I didn't know if that was a girl or a guy playing that role, and she was not... I mean, she was not... there was nothing trying to make her look one way or the other.
Nope. In the business suit and in the angel's wings.
Right.
She was still perfectly androgynous.
Exactly. And I mean, she's just brilliant. I just absolutely love her. She has taken what some people would call a flaw and turned it into a huge, huge, huge plus.
You know, I will kind of go out on a limb, and we talk about people that we crush on or whatever. I actually crush very hard on Tilda Swinton, and I don't necessarily think it's an Andrew thing.
I love it. You said crush, not crushed. So, yeah.
I got a crush.
Oh, honey, I'm right there with you.
She's very, there's just something about her.
That's it. It is that elusive something.
Yeah.
Same
super
thing.
Stylish.
Oh, yeah. Whether she's wearing a robe or a business suit. Like in Multiverse of Madness, the original Doctor Strange.
Yeah, right. As the one, what have you. Yeah.
Bald-headed, in a robe... And she still rocked it.
Yeah. And you know, kind of on that tip with the stylishness, whenever we think of like the top five MCU actors and actresses that have the style.
Oh, she's...
Of course, you're going to... Oh, yeah. For sure.
Now, you got to...
Robert Downey Jr. too. Also.
Oh, yeah. You're going to say Tony Stark. Robert Downey Jr.
Robert Downey Jr. too.
You're going to have to say that. You're going to have to say Tilda Swinton. Let's see. Loki, not so much. Only when he's in his Dolce & Gabbana suits.
Yeah, and he looks great.
Oh, he looks great in anything or nothing, which I've seen him both ways, so. Everybody has who's watched his movies. Hey, this is the guy that won the Rear of the Year award from the Queen of England in 2016. So, you know. But but yeah, and then you've got to, if you're going to go with most fashionable.
Yeah, stylish and fashionable.
Most style, you got to go with Black Widow.
No, you Scarlet, definitely.
Scarlet Witch, too, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, Scarlett Johansson, sorry.
But Elizabeth Olsen, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, we're going to have to do another podcast on the MCU, stylish or not.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to have to do that one.
Ooh, stylish or not.
Yep, nice. Stylish or not.
Nice. And all those people that we would probably say not are pretty happy with that.
Oh, yeah. They're like me. They're like, okay, you don't like my jeans and t-shirt? Yeah. Bite my ass.
Yeah. Mark Ruffalo, the guy that plays a Hulk, he really doesn't care about fashion shoots.
Oh, I know. I love Mark Ruffalo. Oh, okay. Real quick, because we're running out of time here. There was an interview with Mark Ruffalo, and he was like, yeah, I got really, really excited one day. He's like, I was sitting at this restaurant, and these girls are going, is that him? Oh, my God, is that him? I think it's him. No, it can't be him. Oh, wow. No, I think it really is him. You ask him. No, you ask him. And they're going back and forth, and he's hearing this, and he's like kind of grinning because, oh, my God, they recognize me kind of thing. You know, and he's eating it up. And this one girl, she's like, I can't, I can't. And she gets up and runs out of the restaurant. And he's going, what the hell, wow. You know? A few minutes later, she comes back in and she's got this package, like, clutched in her arms to her chest. And she goes, excuse me. And he goes, yeah? She goes, are you Mr. Ruffalo? Are you Mark Ruffalo? And he goes, well, yeah, I am. He's like, she goes, oh my God, I knew it. I knew it was you. Oh my God. She's like, I have a really big favor to ask. And he's like, oh yeah, sure. And he reaches into his breast pocket to get a pen. And she hands him this frigging hoodie and goes, can you give this to Tom Hiddleston for me?
Oh my God. Oh my God.
He said, biggest letdown of his life.
Yeah, maybe for the moment. You know he thought it was funny, though, in the final analysis.
Oh, yeah.
I know that he really does enjoy his co-stars.
He does. Fraternity. He's another one who does not, I mean, simply, absolutely does not enjoy fame. Robert Downey Jr. is to thank that we have Mark Ruffalo as the Hulk. He was going to bow out of the part. He was, the first day of filming, he was like, I can't do this. I'm not, he has social anxiety. He has performance anxiety.
Yes.
And he's just, he does not like the whole public thing. And he was like, nope, I'm not doing it. I can't do it. Nope. Nope. Well, Robert Downey Jr. sent him a text that said, I am on my way to get you. Be ready. Did not, was not going to take. He's like, I'm not, nope. No, you will be ready because I am coming to get you. Don't make me come in there after you.
Yeah.
And that's why we have Mark Ruffalo as the Hulk.
Mm-hmm. Once again, that's Robert Downey Jr. just kind of given.
Well, you know, during the one scene in the original Iron Man when he goes out for the press conference, and he's like, oh, everybody's standing up. Oh, no, sit down. Everybody, sit down. Much more comfortable. Sit down. That was improv. And it was, he did that because he's like, you know, these people have been standing around for hours to film this scene. They've got to be friggin' beat. And he's like, no, we're going to sit down. I'm going to sit down. Y'all sit down. Come on. Let's sit down.
Yeah.
It was all improv. So, But we are now a little over an hour. So, what do you want to do next week? You want to do the fashion next week?
I kind of do. You know, well, and we have to give some equal time.
Absolutely.
You know, if we're going to do MCU, which will represent Team Tom.
Then we have to do what? Pirates?
Ooh. We could do Pirates. We could do Tim Burton. Mm. Or we could combine the two because we're really drawing from a lot.
Or
if
we could
MCU.
Or we could just do co-stars of Johnny versus co-stars of Tom.
Okay. Perfect.
Does that work?
Love it.
All right. So we're gonna do. See, we did Tom this week. So next week it'll be co-stars of Johnny. Mm-hmm. Who is hot and who is not?
Who's hot and who's not?
Fashion-wise.
That being said, well, for my delineators on the who's not, it's going to be folks that are not, and they don't care.
Of course, we can always do a who cares and who doesn't.
You know, right. Well, I mean, you know, Tim Burton, he don't care.
Tim Burton doesn't have to care.
Right.
All right, guys. Carrie, go ahead and give your contact information while I pull up the Devheads and Hiddlestoners phone number.
So, interestingly, I ended up pulling 3 extra contacts in the last 2 weeks.
Nice.
On PlayStation Network, and I haven't been playing any of the games that these people have been playing. I'm not sure if this is some sort of like scam thing or if it's you, gentle listeners, and I want to give the benefit of the doubt that it's the general listeners.
I would hope so. Y'all message. Send a message. Just say, hey, I heard you on the podcast, you know.
Yeah, don't be shy. I actually have been known to stay up late and just kind of rap about movies and what have you while I'm playing games with folks on the network. So you can find me on PlayStation Network, PSN. My tag is Traveler2300, no spaces.
Two L's.
And there you are.
Two L's, right?
Two L's.
All right.
And also, Mako3303, no spaces, at hotmail.com.
That is M-A-K-O?
That's right.
M-A-K-O.
Yep.
All right. And we have the Depheads and Hiddlestoners email is depheadsandhiddlestoners@yahoo.com. We have the blog, which is depheadshiddlestoners.com. Then, or you can go to BarryReeseNet and click on the link. Then we also have our dedicated phone line, which is 949-373-5476. Leave us a message. Let us know who you want to talk to, who you want to contact you. Tell us when is a good time, and we will certainly do that. Either me, Carrie, Barry, or possibly anybody else who has been on the podcast if you want to hear from one of them. So just call us up, send us a message, go to the blog. We are here 24/7. But so next week, who's hot, who's not, who's got fashion sense, and who just does not care?
Right.
So we are going to wrap it up. And until next week, we will see you later.
Yep. Peace and love.
Love and peace, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.